Here we go. All right.
How many want to live in a zone? Anybody ready to live in a zone? All right. Those are the people who want to be blessed. Nobody else wants to be blessed today. How many want to live in a zone, man? There we go. We're talking about living in the zone, the series we've been doing for the last couple of weeks on learning to live in a blessed place that God has for us. That we're learning to walk in that zone, that we walk where people look at us and say, man, there's something different about them. There's something, God's anointing that seems to be following them around. The things they do, the things they touch, whatever they do, seems like God is blessing what they do. We're talking about living there. Today, we have a special message I'm extremely excited for you to hear by Pastor Robert Morse. Now, Pastor Robert Morse is the pastor of Gateway Church, if not the fastest growing church in America. It's right there at the top. It's a church that's running several thousand people. Over 10,000 people now are attending there. A church that started about 12 years ago and just running several thousand people. And God has really anointed. You know, there's so many guys that I love to listen to. And Pastor Robert Morse is one of these guys. And he's very familiar with Foursquare. Foursquare is the fellowship that we belong to. And he ministers at a lot of the conventions there and also is on board with some of the things that we have with our colleges. And also some of our Foursquare ministers, including Jack Hayford, is a part of his overseeing his ministry as well. And so very much connected with our church family, and I've always received from him. Now listen, there's some guys who are just anointed to teach on certain subjects. There's a lot of guys that I've heard preach and women I've heard preach who are very much anointed. And everything they say is really good. But it seems like certain people just seem to have an anointing to speak on a certain subject. They do it with authority and they're able to do it with experience because God has just seemed to anoint them to do this. And Pastor Robert, when it comes to giving, I believe is so anointed and he does it with such integrity that I really appreciate the integrity that he brings with it and the life experience and how he explains it. Today you're going to hear an incredible message on the multiplication, the principles of multiplication. And he's going to tell you a story about Jesus feeding 5,000 in a way you've never pictured before. You're going to laugh. You're going to get something out of it. And then he's going to make it very life applicable and share his own personal testimony, how God has taught him to give. And you're going to enjoy this today. And so I want you guys to play this video today and I want you to receive this. This is awesome. You're going to love it today. Pastor Robert Morse.
Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, all right? Luke chapter 9. This is the last message in the series, The Blessed Life. And this is such an important message that we have to catch it. It's called The Principles of Multiplication. Now, I'm a numbers guy. Some of you are numbers people, male or female. You can be a numbers person. I catch numbers all the time. I see numbers. I think in numbers. My wife knows this. I've tried to say to her, please don't talk to me about something if it involves a number without telling me the number first, because I can't hear you until you say the number. You know, she says, I want to remodel this part of the house, and I want to do this, and I want to put up new drapes, and I want to get new... Okay, it is like listening to Charlie Brown's parents. It is like, what, $4,000. Okay, I heard that. I got that, $4,000, you know. So my point is, multiplication is a mathematical term. Would it be all right with you if God multiplied your resources? Would that be all right with you? Okay, we've seen other mathematical terms. You know, we've seen addition, praise the Lord. We've seen subtraction. We've seen division sometimes. But what about multiplication? So Luke chapter 9 and verse 12, all right? Luke 9 verse 12. It says, when the day began to wear away, the 12, there's the number, came and said to him, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, well, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. Now, let me stop just for a moment and share something with you. In Jewish culture at this time, the way they counted crowds was that they counted the heads of households. They counted families. It says there were 5,000 men. As a matter of fact, the account of this in Matthew says it this way. Matthew 14:21 says, Now, those who had eaten were 5,000 men besides women and children. So if you include spouses, and if you think of maybe just an average of 2 children per family, that would be 20,000 people. And at that time, there were probably the average for children for a household would probably be more than 2. So there could have been 20 or 25,000 people here. So when you see the heading in your Bible, the feeding of the 5,000, I don't mind that heading as long as you understand this was 5,000 families. Most theologians believe this is the largest crowd Jesus ever spoke to, ever. So there's 20, 25,000 people here, all right? Now go back to verse 14. For there were about 5,000 men, and he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. There's another number. And they did so, and they made them all sit down. And then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12, notice that, 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. Now, see, that number really jumped out to me because I thought, why in the world would there still be leftovers? I mean, Jesus knew how many people were there, and there were 12 baskets left over. So, you know, just kind of using my own thinking, I thought, well, you know, I think the reason there were 12 is because Jesus wanted each disciple to have a doggy bag. I mean, that's just, you know, that's what I think. So, okay, so here's what I like to do with stories in the Bible. And if you've never done this, this is a blast to do. I like to put myself in the story. And I like to think, how would I have responded had I been there that day? So that's what I want us to do. I want us to all imagine. I want us to use your holy imagination. And I want you to put yourself in the story. I want you to imagine that you are one of the disciples and that you are on the Messiah search committee. And you've got a great candidate. I mean, he's healing the sick, raising the dead, walking on water. I mean, this guy's incredible, you know. And so you have a high attendance Sunday. And you send out a mass email and you tweet about it, you know. And the largest crowd you've ever had attends. I mean, it's absolutely incredible, you know. And you have some really good worship like we did today. And then the guest speaker gets up to speak. And 12 o'clock, he's still going. You think, well, that's not too bad, you know. 1 o'clock, though, he's still going. 2 o'clock, I mean, you've already missed the first game. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. I'm not exaggerating the text. Look at verse 12. It says, when the day began to wear away. You know what that means in the Greek? In the Greek, that means when the day began to wear away. I'm going to start getting late. So again, just using my holy imagination, you know what I think? I think the disciples formed a little committee. I think they got together and they said, man, what are we going to do? I mean, this guy's good, but no one's this good. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, he's just going on and on and on. And I'll tell you what, if I don't get something to eat soon, I'm going to die. I'm going to die right here. I will die if I don't eat soon. And I think one of them said something like, that's it. And they said, what's it? Let's tell Jesus that the people are getting hungry. Yeah? He seems to care a lot about the people. He doesn't seem to care much about us, but he seems to care a lot about the people. So now let's imagine that you get elected the spokesperson, okay? So I want you to see this in your mind. Jesus is up there speaking, great big crowd, and you walk up to Jesus. This is the inference from Scripture that they approached him while he was speaking, okay? So you say, Lord, this has been so good today. I tell you, this has really been good. This series of messages that you're bringing all in one day. But we were talking and we feel like that the people are getting hungry. Now, we could go all night. I tell you, it's been that good. And it's getting late and the restaurants are about to close. And we feel like that you should just wrap it up, and you can continue this series next week. And the Lord said, you feel like the people are hungry. Yes, Lord, it's all about the people. It's all about the people. And then he said, look at this, verse 13, maybe you've never seen this, but he said to them, well, then you give them something to eat. Excuse me. Yeah, you and your little group over there, you're concerned about the people. Why don't you guys give them something to eat? Okay. It didn't go like you planned, did it? And so now you got to report back to the committee. That's the hard part. So you go back over and they say, well, did you tell them the people were hungry? Yes, I did. I said those exact words. I said the people are hungry. Well, is he going to dismiss the service? Well, what did he say? Said for us to give them something to eat. What? He said for us to give them something to eat. What? 20,000 people here. Oh, man, we're dead. Just wait till the first church of the Pharisees hears about this. You know? And then one of them said, there's just no. And then there's some little kid that was walking by that snuck back into town during the message, and he's walking by with a Long John Silver sack. And so they grab it, you know, and they open it up. He got the two-piece meal with extra rolls. And, of course, Peter probably just grabbed one. Oh, stop it, Peter. Stop it. That's all we have. That's all we have. And then one of them said, that's it. And they said, what's it? Let's tell Jesus this is all we have. And then he'll dismiss the service. Now, I want you to think about something. If you had never read this in the Bible and you had been there that day, wouldn't you think if you said that's all you had that he'd dismiss? Wouldn't you think that? Doesn't that make sense? Okay, so, again, you're the spokesperson. Just one more. You know, a moment ago we were talking, I was telling you how good this is. And you said for us to, you know, give them something to eat. And we've been working on that. And But all we have is two pieces of fish and almost five. Peter ate some, Lord, and I couldn't stop him. But five rolls, but that's all we have. So we're thinking we should just go with the original idea and just, you know, wrap it up. And the Lord said, okay, let me get this straight. You have two pieces of fish and, well, almost five. I know how Peter is. Five rolls and that's all you have, right? Yes, that's all we have. Yep, that'd be great. Have them sit down in groups of 50. Excuse me? Lord, we don't have a lot of these snack packs, Lord. There was a kid walk. Peter took it from him. I didn't take it from him, Lord. Yeah, that'll be fine. Have him sit down in groups 50. Now, you ever thought about this? Getting 20,000 people to sit down in groups of 50. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever worked with people? I mean, people are hard to work with, aren't they? So they're getting them all set down. And then, I think that the disciples figured it out. I do. I think one of them said, hey, you remember that story in the Bible where Elisha fed 100 men with 12 loaves of bread? I'll bet you when he prays over it, it's going to multiply right in front of our eyes. I said, yeah. Now, actually, you know, many of us believe that's what happened, but that's not what happened. It's not at all what happened. Matter of fact, verse 16 says, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set for the multitude. Now, again, I think probably Peter probably said, hey, give me one of them rolls. Here, Lord, here, pray over mine first. Here, pray over mine. Here, pray over mine. So watch. Pray over mine, Lord. And Jesus takes this piece of bread from Peter, lifts it up and says, Father, bless it. Breaks it and hands half of it back to Peter. Are you through praying? Yes, Peter, it's blessed. Now go give it out. You want to pray some more? No, Peter. It's blessed. Now go give it away. Now personally, I think Peter walked up to the first person and said something like this. Take just a little piece. What would you have said? So he's going around, take a little piece, take a little piece. Take a, I said a little piece, you pig, what is wrong with you? Take a little piece. Okay, he gets down to the end of the row. There is a crumb left in his hand, sweat pouring down his face, and he looks down at it, and right before the person grabs it, it grows in Peter's hands. And he says, you can have some more. Listen, the miracle did not happen in the master's hands. It happened in the disciples' hands. Amen. This is very important. So from this story, there are two principles of multiplication. If you're taking notes, I want you to write these down. If you're not taking notes, write these down. All right? Here's number one. It has to be blessed before it can multiply. It has to be blessed before it can multiply. Think about this. What if the disciples had given the fish and the loaves out without Jesus blessing it? It never would have multiplied. It was the blessing of Jesus that gave it the potential to multiply. There are many, many people who give a little here and give a little there, but they never see their finances multiplied. And the reason is they're not blessed by Jesus. And the Bible tells us very, very clearly that the way Jesus blesses our finances is we give the first 10% to the house of God. And when we give the first 10% to the house of God, the rest is blessed. And the rest multiplies. There's a couple in our church that when I preached on this a few years ago, they came to me and they said, Pastor, we got so convicted because we were giving 5% to Gateway Church and 5% to a missions organization. Nothing wrong with giving to missions organizations, but you don't give the tithe. You give offerings over and above the tithe to missions organizations. And they said, we actually had the check already written. We tore the check up, wrote another check for 10%. And Malachi says, bring the whole tithe into the house of the Lord. They said, we wrote a check for the whole tithe to Gateway Church. And they said, we'd been waiting for a bonus for months that we were supposed to get. And after we gave that on Monday, we got that bonus. And they actually said to us, we felt so bad that it took so long that we gave you more than what you were supposed to get after they gave the whole tithe. So number one, it has to be blessed before it can multiply. Number two, it has to be given away before it can multiply. It has to be given away before it can multiply. Again, think about this story. What if the disciples, after Jesus had blessed it, what if the disciples had eaten it instead of giving it away? And a lot of people do that. They tithe or they give to the local church, but then they don't give over and above. And it has the potential to multiply. It's blessed, but then they don't give offerings over and above. So in my own life, let me tell you how this happened. I got saved at 19 in Jake's Motel, room 12, and I started sharing my testimony, and then I went to Bible college, and then I started preaching youth revivals and things like this. And in a few years, the Lord said to me, now listen to this statement, it's very important. You might even want to write this down. He said, I want you to get your finances in order so I can bless them. Yet you need to understand something. God cannot, it would be against his nature, God cannot bless something that's not in order. So he said, I want you to get your finances in order so I can bless them. So I said, well, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, three things. And then I want you, you could write these down as well. I put them on the screen for you. Number one, he said, get out of debt. Now, every time God speaks something to us, God will clarify what he means. For us, we still operate by this to this day. To getting out of debt was, we had peace about owing for our home because it was an appreciating item and because of the tax credits and things like that. Now, some people don't have peace about that. I understand that. But for us, we have peace about owing for our home, but nothing else. And so the first thing that had to go was our car. We had a car with this big payment. It was actually too big for us. We knew it was. So we sold that car and we bought a car for cash for $750. That's all we could afford. But we loved that car. We prayed over it. We anointed it with oil about a quart a week. And we drove that car. The second thing God said to me was, don't manipulate. Now, by this time, again, I'm in ministry, and I'm traveling and speaking in churches. He said, don't manipulate. I said, Lord, what do you mean, don't manipulate? He said, I want you to know that I am your source. So he said, from now on, when a pastor asks you, you know, what are your financial requirements for coming, you say, I have no financial requirements for coming. Before, they would say, what are your financial requirements? And I would say, well, pay our expenses and give us an offering. And my friends would even say, and the offering has to be a minimum of. I never even said that. But he said, from now on, you say, I have no financial requirements for coming. And I'll never forget the first pastor I told that to. I said, I have no financial requirements. He said, well, that's good because I'm not sure we could even pay your gas. He didn't say pay your expenses. He said, pay your gas. And we got in that $750 car, and we started driving to that church, and I stopped and filled it up with gas, and I went in to pay for it, and this lady said to me, it's taken care of. And I said, what do you mean it's taken care of? She said, well, because I own the gas station, and when you pulled in, God told me you were an evangelist, and I was to fill your car up with gas. And I went out, and I got in my car, and I said, God, I sure like doing it better your way than my way. And then a pastor called and he said to me, can you come on this date? And I said, yes. He said, what are your financial requirements for coming? I said, I have no financial requirements for coming. And he just couldn't get it. He said, what do you mean you have no financial requirements for coming? I said, I mean, I have no financial requirements for coming. And he said, what do you mean you have no financial requirements for coming? And he just couldn't get it. He said, how are you going to live? How are you going to live? If you come to our church and preach and we don't give you an offering, how are you going to live? And I said something, and I meant it right, but it came out wrong. You ever do that? And so I said to the guy, listen, if we come to your church and preach and you don't give me an offering, I said, God will take care of me and God will take care of you. He said, well, we'll give you an offering. I said, no, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. I said, what I meant was God will provide for me and he'll provide for you. Of course, as I've thought about it, it probably works both ways. But anyway, so the Lord said, get out of debt, don't manipulate. Number three said, give. And I said, well, Lord, I do give. I tithe. Now listen to what he said. He said, son, giving, tithing is not giving. Tithing is returning. He said, the tithe belongs to me. He said, you only have two choices with the tithe. You bring it to the house of God or you steal it. It's only your only choice, according to Scripture. There's no other choice in Scripture. And so I said, well, Lord, aren't these good questions? I said, well, Lord, how will I know when to give? How will I know what to give? How will I know where to give? Listen to what he said. So simple. Listen, he said, I'll tell you. See, my sheep hear my voice. So the very next meeting I go to, now this is it. This is all I do now. At that time, I travel and spoke at churches. And if they gave us an offering, great. And if they, you know, some churches would give us a love offering. Some churches would give us like offerings. Some gave, don't like, don't come back. Anyway, so I said, I have no financial requirements. And I went, I had one meeting for the whole month. And it was a Sunday evening meeting, not a whole week. And it was about 60 people. And so I go and I speak, and at the end, the pastor gets up and said, this guy told me something no minister has ever said to me, ever. He said he had no financial requirements coming. He said, I want us to give an offering to him. And so they gave an offering, and he came up to me at the end of the service, and he said, look at this. Look at this. He was excited. We've never done this. He said, look how much this offering is. I'm so excited. And I looked down, and it was enough for the whole month. And at this time, I had a staff, and I had an office, and I had expenses. So it was enough, not just for my personal income, but for the ministry's income for the whole month. And I thought, God, you are so good. That's amazing. And I'm standing there talking to the pastor, and I glance over his shoulder, and at the back of the room is a missionary that spoke right before I spoke. And this voice said to me, give him the offering. And I'll never forget what I thought. Here's what I thought. Get behind me, Satan. That's not God. That's not God. That is not God. That's not you. If you don't know, that's not you. And this voice said, give him the offering. Give him the offering. Give him the offering. And I remember even telling the Lord, I said, Lord, you're not thinking clearly. You got all pumped up because I preached a good message and now you want to give, but I see you're not thinking clearly here. And the Lord said, I told you I'd tell you. I told you I'd tell you where to give, when to give, and how much to give. And I'm telling you to give him the offering. So I went up to the missionary when no one else was looking. I made sure no one saw me. And I endorsed the check, and I folded it in half, and I said, I'm going to give you something on two conditions. Number one, you don't look at it until after you leave, because it was a very, very large check. Number two, I said, you never, ever tell anyone I gave this to you. Never. And I gave him the check, and we walked out to our car, Debbie and I, and there were some people standing there talking. They said, hey, would y'all like to go get some pizza? And we said, yeah, you know, because we were broke. And so we said, yeah, sure, we'd love to. And so we went to pizza, and there were five other couples, six couples total, Debbie and I, and five other couples. And the six ladies sat on one end of the table, and the six guys sat on one end of the table. And I was on this end, Debbie was down on the other end. And all of a sudden, these four guys got to talking. And this guy across the table from me leaned over like that and said, you know, I kind of lean over. I don't know what he's about to say, you know. And all of a sudden, he just said to me, how much was the love offering? And so I told him, and it was an offering, not an honorarium. The difference is an honorarium is a round amount with zeros, like $500 or $1,000 or something. This was an offering, so it had dollars and cents. And so I told him every number. I told him the exact amount of it, and he shook his head like this, and then he said, where's the check? Like that. And I know you're supposed to tell the truth, but I didn't want to say we gave it to a missionary. I didn't want to do that, and I didn't want to manipulate, and I didn't know why this guy was asking me. I didn't know who he was, and I was flustered, and so I just kind of heard myself say, Debbie has it. And so he said to me, go get it. I want to see it. So I said, okay. So I got up and I walked down where Debbie was, and I just kind of whispered in her ear, you know, I said, how's your pizza? Good. Okay. There, what else do you say? There's no check, you know? So I come back, and again, I'm flustered, and I don't, you know, and so I said, it's in the car. And he said, it's not in the car. So I said, where is it? I mean, you know, you know so much, pal. And he said to me, you gave it away, didn't you? And I said, how do you know that? And he said, because God told me. And he reached in his pocket and he pulled out a check that he had written before the service that night. And he opened it up and it was made out to our ministry. And remember, the check I gave away had dollars and cents. He opened it up and it was exactly 10 times the amount of the check I'd just given away. Exactly. Exactly. And he said, here, take this. And he's holding the top of it, and I reached out and I took the bottom of it, but he wouldn't let it go. And I realized he wanted to say something to me. I know now there was an impartation from a person who had the gift of giving, but he's holding the top, I'm holding the bottom, and I looked right across the top of that check, right into his eyes, and he said, God's about to teach you about giving so you can teach the body of Christ. And he let the check go. And when he did, this revelation came on me. This is God's money. And every penny I get is God's money. And so I said to Debbie, this is God's money. We need to ask God what he wants us to do. Listen to me. Every believer needs that revelation about every check we get. This is God's money. God, what do you want me to do with it? And so we said, Lord, what do you want us to do with this? The Lord told us to buy a car for a single mom. You know, we do a lot for Single Mom's Day. This started 25 years ago in my life. He said, buy a car for a single mom. We still had the $750 car. We didn't go buy ourselves a new car. We bought a car for a single mom. Then the Lord said, see that guy over, it's out of work? You pay his salary until he gets another job. That was thousands of dollars a month. We started giving so extravagantly, and we never said a word. I didn't have a mailing list. I didn't tell people what I was doing. I didn't ask for money. I didn't stand up in the pulpit and tell any of these stories. Never told a one of these back then. And God just began to provide from all over. I remember standing on the front row, and a guy walking up, and he stuck a check in my pocket, and he said to me, God's teaching you about giving. And he turned around and walked off, and I opened the check up. It's $5,000. It was just amazing. This was back in the 80s, what God was doing. I remember one time God said to me, I want you to sell your van. By this time, this was 2 or 3 years down the road, and we had a really nice van that we traveled in. We traveled every week and spoke in churches. Matter of fact, our son was 3 years old, Josh, and someone came up to him after church, said, where do you live? He said, in the van. You know, so the Lord said to me, I want you to sell your van. I said, well, God, how much do you want me to sell it for? He said, $12,000. So I said, okay. So the next day, this on a Saturday, on Sunday, I'm in church. I'm worshiping God. This guy walks up to me in church and says to me, hey, you want to sell your band? Like that. And I said, yeah, I do. He said, $12,000. I said, yeah. He pulls his checkbook out. He writes me a check right then, hands it to me, takes my keys. We had to get a ride home from church. Took the van just like that. This was on a Monday. I now know why he wrote me the check that day, because on Monday we got on a plane. We fly to Costa Rica. The missionary picks us up in a missionary vehicle. You ever been in one of those? We're bouncing all over the place, you know. There's a hole in the floor where the muffler is, and the exhaust is coming up. I'm about to die. The exhaust is coming up through the floor. And I said, this missionary, why don't you get you a new van? He said, I'm about to. Last week, I was driving by this car lot, and God spoke to me to stop and went over and said, I'm going to give you this van, and showed me a van. I said to him, how much is it? You want to take a guess? He said, $12,000. I said, turn around. Let's go get the van. Listen to me. This is fun. This is fun to live life this way. And then one day, the Lord spoke to me. I was having my quiet time, and the Lord said to me, would you give me everything? Would you give me everything? And I knew immediately he meant everything in our checking account, everything in our savings account, everything in the ministry checking account, everything in the ministry savings account, our retirement, both our vehicles, and our house. And we gave our house to a pastor that had five children, didn't have a house. Hear me. Listen. I know when I say this about Debbie and I giving everything. We feel like we've given everything three times. When I say everything, I mean everything God asked for. Listen to me. Because the second time God asked us for everything, he said, don't give your cars and your house, give me everything you have. And that was including our retirement. We gave that to buy that first piece of property, Gateway Church Bowl. We gave everything we had. And then another time God spoke to me to give everything, and it wasn't the retirement, but it was all the cash we had. So please hear me. When I say that, when I tell you something like that, I am not asking you to give everything. Listen, I am asking you to give everything God says. I am asking you to do that, okay? Just what God tells you to do. So anyway, we sat down, Debbie and I, and we talked about where to give everything and all, and it took us several months to do this, by the way, to distribute everything. And the next day, I'm having my quiet time, and I was adding it up in my mind, you know, because that was a lot of money. And I was adding up, and the Lord said to me, what are you doing? I said, nothing. Because you know, if you don't tell him what you're thinking, he doesn't know. And the Lord said, no, what are you thinking? And I was having this thought, and it wasn't really a spiritual thought. So I said, Lord, I don't want to tell you what I'm thinking. And he said, no, tell me what you're thinking. I said, you know that old saying, you can't outgive God? He said, yeah, I've heard that. I said, well, I think I did. I said, I mean, don't feel bad, you know, and all, but, you know, but I said, this time, I think I've got you. I don't know why I use that term. I said, I think I've got you. And look, he said so clearly, you think you got me? And the phone rang. And I picked up the phone, and this guy on the other end of the phone said, Robert, God told me to help you with your transportation. Here's what I thought. He's going to give us a car. And that's good because, you know, we don't have a car. And, you know, but Lord, even if he gives us a car, I just gave away everything I own and two cars. And at that time, we'd given nine cars away. Nine. So I thought, even if he gives this car, thank you, but I still got you. And I said, well, what'd the Lord tell you to do? He said, he told me to buy you an airplane. And I'm going to pay for the gas. I'm going to pay for the hangar, the insurance, the maintenance. And I've hired a pilot, and I'm going to pay his salary. Here's his name and number. You just call him and tell him where you want to go and when you want to go. And the Lord said, gotcha. Gotcha. Now listen to me. This is not a message, give and you get an airplane, okay? Listen. Because the airplane's not the best part of the story. Here's the best part of the story. The next day I'm having my quiet time and I'm reading about Solomon, the most famous story about Solomon. You remember what God said to Solomon? Absolutely amazing. Can you imagine God saying this to you? He said, ask. Ask anything you want and I'll give it to you. Can you imagine God saying that to you? And I'm reading that story, and I thought to myself, I wonder what happened right before God said that to Solomon. I wonder if Solomon did anything. I wonder what he did that day. And I went back and studied it, and that day he was inaugurated the king of Israel. It was tradition for the king to sacrifice one bull. Do you know how many Solomon sacrificed? 1,000 bulls. Not 10, not 100, 1,000 bulls. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I only say to extravagant givers, ask anything you want. He said, I would never say that to a selfish person because I can't trust selfish people. I can trust givers, so. And I'm not even thinking 2 days forward, we've given everything we have. I'm not even thinking that. I'm just having my quiet time. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said to me, ask. Ask anything you want. And I knew immediately what I wanted because you have to remember that I have a very immoral past. And I had believed a lie that my marriage wouldn't last. And I said, God, I want for Debbie and I to be passionately in love all the days of our lives. I don't want to lose my marriage. And this past May, we had our 31st wedding anniversary. That's better than an airplane. It's better than an airplane. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I want you to live the blessed life. I want every member of Gateway Church and every person watching to live this happy life. And I want to know, what is God saying to you today? Some of you have struggled for years to tithe, to give the whole tithe to the house of God, the first 10% of your gross income, undesignated. I'm pleading with you. Step out in faith. You may have to sell something like Debbie and I had to. You may have to lower your standard of living, but you will never, ever regret it. Some of you, God is speaking to you to give extravagantly again. Some of you are great givers, but you backed off because of this financial recession. And you think this is not a good time to give. Listen, it's always a good time to obey God. I'm not asking you to do anything. You know me as your pastor. I'm not asking you to do anything that God is not asking you to do. But if God is asking you to, and some of you He is, and it's a step of faith, I'm asking you to do what God tells you to do. But some of you, God is asking you to give Him the most extravagant gift you could ever give Him. And now listen to me closely. I am not talking about money. I'm talking about your heart. God is asking you, will you give me your life? Will you give me your life? And you can do that today. In just a moment, we're going to have leaders at the front, at every campus in the second level at South Lake and in the overflow rooms. We're going to have leaders here at the front. If you need to give your life to the Lord, there are going to be other people coming for prayer, because what I'm going to say is if you need any prayer, then in just a moment, when we stand up at every location, you just stand up, step out and come to the front and let us pray for you. But if you need to give your life to God, especially you, please hear me, please. You don't have to be a member of Gateway Church to come for prayer. If you need to give control, maybe you've given your life to God before, but you've taken it back. If you need to give control of your life to God, as soon as we stand up, you just stand up, step out and come, and let us pray for you. If you need prayer for any area, finances, health, family, marriage, relationship with God.
How many received that word? Isn't that a good word today? Man, that was good stuff. I just felt in my heart that was the right thing to do today, was to show this. And I think it goes right along with where we're at timing-wise at the church. Next week as we head into Vision Sunday, the series that we're in. I've shown videos here over 8 years. Just you can count on one hand how many times we showed a video. This is something we haven't done in a long, long time. But I just felt in my heart that God wanted us to hear this message today. And I wanted to make sure you received it. You know, last year, I shared a couple weeks ago, the last year at Destiny, we gave over $100,000 away in ministries. Everything that comes in to Destiny, we tithe out of that. Everything that comes in, undesignated money. Now, this is not including designated money, but anything that's undesignated, it just comes in as tithe and offering. We give 10% away to Foursquare Ministries, and that supports missionaries, church plants, other ministries that go along. And above and beyond that, we support missionaries. We support guest ministers who come and visit. We've given them love offerings. We've done outreaches. We support a lot of city missions here in the local four-state area. We have a lot of other organizations that are here doing great works. We do a lot of outreaches to children, teachers, Christmas. I mean, you guys are a giving church, and I couldn't believe it when they gave me the total. I didn't realize this year. They said, how much did we give this year? Oh, we gave over $100,000. I was like, what? Oh, I didn't realize we'd give away that much money. And then I realized that, man, God's up to something, you know? After the first of the year, let me just give you one example. The first of the year, I met with a pastor who was at the process of remodeling his church, and he was getting his church ready to reopen back up. They had lost it in tornado, and they were moving in. And as I was talking to him, he was frustrated because they came so far, but they were just not quite there as the kickoff was getting ready to come, and they were having the grand opening. And he had this nice foyer built and this nice coffee shop. And he's like, we just don't have enough money to finish our coffee shop. We just have deleted all our funds. I've raised all the funds I can. And I was like, how much you need to complete it? And he said, probably about $3,000 would help us complete this coffee shop. And it'd be so nice when all the guests come in for the first time that we have this done. And so I didn't say anything to him. I went home and I prayed about it. And I felt like God wanted us to do it at Destiny Church to take care of that. And so I didn't say anything as far as number-wise to the guys. But the next finance meeting we have, I told the guys of the opportunity we had to help this church give toward this church. And I just said, I feel like God wants us to help them finish some things out. I'd like to give them an offering. What do you guys think? And without me telling them any number, they came and said, oh, Pastor, we feel like we should give them $3,000. I'm like, well, that's exactly what God has spoken to me. And so we okayed it. And the next morning, I called them up. Let's go to lunch. And I gave them a check for $3,000. Hey, we want you to finish out your coffee shop. I never made mention to that to you guys. We didn't come back and say, oh, this is what we did. We helped this church out. And we didn't go back, and he didn't, you know, it wasn't no big hurrah done. It's something we just did because we felt like the Spirit of God was asking us to do it. There was a piece of property that we had looked at, which we now have. And last year when we looked at this property, we were looking at a different part of the frontage along with the 10 acres in the back. And we were prepared to pay up to probably $500,000, up to $500,000 for this property. We were going to make an offer around $450,000 on this property with a little leeway, hoping we could get it under five or up to max of five, which would have been a great deal for that much property on Rangeline. And the day we went to make an offer, the person who owned the company who owned the frontage offers doubled the price, asking price, and put it way out of our reach with what we wanted to do. So we backed off. Remember now, we were offering $450,000. We were ready to pay $500,000. After we gave that seed offering to this church, that God came back, we gave them $3,000. Now, we own this property for $305,000. That's a good God praise, okay? So just we saved almost $200,000, just what we thought we'd probably have to pay for the property, number one, okay? Number two, do you realize we gave over $100,000 away last year at Destiny? Do you know how much money we picked up in equity? This week, we picked up over $600,000 in equity this week, Destiny. And that's a low figure because there's 1 acre that's sold right across the street from us here, just to the right before we get to the cemetery. That 1 acre frontage just sold for $400,000 this week. And we just bought 10.75 acres a quarter mile down the road for $305,000. You tell me God isn't up to something, guys. God is up to the big, and we believe God is in this. And so this is what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to join me this week. Starting tomorrow all the way through service next Sunday morning, I'm asking for people to join me in fasting. I'm asking you to join me in a fast. I want you to pick a fast that you believe something God wants you to do. Some of you will fast foods or types of food. Some of you may want to do the Daniel fast next week where you don't eat any meat or sugar or bread. Something similar to that. Or maybe you want to fast something else. Maybe you want to fast TV and social media. But whatever it is, I want to ask those who hear a Destiny. First of all, you say, Pastor, first of all, I'm going to commit to help fasting and putting this week into prayer. So how many this week will say, Pastor, I'm going to join you in a fast this week? How many will join me in a fast this week? Thank you. This is what I want you to do. I want you to join me as we fast. We're also going to pray. So I want you to look at these highlights. These are the areas I want you to pray about this week. First of all, we're praying for God's will to be done. First and foremost, we're praying, God, your will be done. That's the first thing we're asking. God, that your will be done in Destiny Church in this whole process as we move forward. We don't want to go forward without your will being done. So we're praying first and foremost, God, your will be done. Number two, we're praying for a spirit of faith and obedience to rise in our hearts. That we'll step out in faith and we won't be afraid to listen to the heart of the Lord. Number three, we're praying for unity. And we bind every spirit of distraction. Amen. Listen to me. Satan is not going to be happy with what's going on. He's not happy with the testimony that's coming out. He's not happy that this church that started with seven families in a basement has moved from the Holiday Inn to here and is now purchasing almost 11 acres on prime location in the heart of the city. He's not happy, so he's going to do anything he can to bring division, anything he can to bring distraction. And so we're going to be proactive, and we're going to cover this thing in prayer, and we're going to bind. Remember, we talked about spiritual authority all last year several times, and we're going to use our spiritual authority and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we bind any spirit of disunity. We bind any spirit of distraction that your word of the Lord may come forth and the will of God may come forth. So we're going to step out in spiritual authority. And number four, we're going to pray and ask that the Holy Spirit, this is the personal one, pray and ask the Holy Spirit, should I give? What should I give and sacrifice for the purchase of the new property? And I want you just to begin to pray that prayer. God, what do you want me to give? And it's going to be a sacrifice. Listen, all of us are going to have to sacrifice. We want God to sacrifice in our life. We want to step out and sacrifice. We're praying to God, you would help us to learn to give and just be obedient. For some of you, that's going to be very extravagant. Some of you are going to give away, you may give away a home, you may give away a house, you may give away stocks and bonds, you may give away gold and silver. Some of you may give away savings, some of you may give away big chunks. For others of you, you're going to maybe have to give a smaller amount up front, and you may just say, I'm just going to sacrifice every week, and we're going to cut things back out of our budget and start sacrificing. We're going to give every week, just give and let it add up and let it add up. You realize that if a family of five would just, let's just give you an example, a family of five would just say, we're going to drink water when we go out to eat and not order pop, that we could save like $12 every time you go out to eat. If you eat out an average of twice, that's $25 a week that you could save if you eat out twice a week just to end pop. That's $100 a month. That's $1,200 a year. That's almost $2,400 in 2 years. I mean, the money's there. If we really begin to pray about it, say, God, what do you want me to give? For others of you, you're going to sacrifice a lot more. God's going to speak to you. And that's all I'm asking you to do. It's just for you to listen to the Holy Spirit and say, God, what do you want me to step out? Some of you, it's going to be a big jump of faith. You've never given that amount. My wife and I, we're going to give, and it's going to be a big sacrifice. It's going to be a big step of faith on our part. And I'm believing that God's going to speak to you, and we're going to be obedient to do that. I'm not going to put pressure on you. I'm not going to get up and pressure you every week, and we're not going to say that. We're just going to keep it before you and say, listen, just be obedient to what the Holy Spirit wants you to do, and let's let God show up and show out in our midst and do miracles. I'm excited because I believe that God's going to do a miracle in your life as you learn to hear His voice and you learn to give above your tithe. Okay, we're learning to return to the Lord, but we're learning now to say, God, we're going to give above and beyond that. We want to hear Your voice and give. I'm going to invite you to stand with me today as we close out the service. Today, I want you just to join me around the front. We're going to close out in a time of unity, of praise and worship here. We're going to pray this week, and we're going to say, God, we're ready. We're fasting. We're stepping into a time of a miracle next week. We're going to look back next week and say, man, I remember that Sunday. I remember that time we gave, and God taught me to trust Him in giving. It's going to be a big time. Some of you are going to give. Some of you got future plans of ministry, things you want to see done in ministry. And God's going to say, I want you to fund this ministry, and I'll fund your ministry. Some of you here, you're going to give away things you've never given away before. It's going to be a big step of faith. But God is never going to ask you to do
what He hasn't already given you provision to do and what He's going to bless you to do. We're going to sing this song. Step into the little front, guys. Make room for those coming in. Thank you. I want you to say, God, I'm ready to give. God, make my heart. Prepare me, God. I want to hear it. Can we just lift our hands to Him, Father? We lift our hands to You now. God, as we prepare now, Father, to give. As we prepare, Lord, in the next step of the vision. God, we pray that we lay aside any steps, anything of fear. Lord, any past things that we've carried over. Lord, I pray that we can walk into this thing fresh and anew. God, that You can allow us, God, just to hear Your voice. That, God, we can begin to step into a spirit of giving like we've never gone before. The zone that You have for us, God. We stand in all of who You are. Come on, let's sing this song together.
You stood before creation. Eternity in Your hand. And You spoke the earth into motion. My soul now to stand. You stood before my failures, carried the cross for my shame, and my sin weighed upon Your shoulders. My soul now to stand.
Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, let's bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Come on, begin to thank Him in advance. Come on, Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Father. We thank You, God, for what You've done in our midst already. But God, we believe the best is still yet to come. Father, we believe, God, that You are setting us up for a miracle. And God, we say yes, Lord, to You. We say yes to Your Holy Spirit. God, speak to us. Use us, God. And we say yes to You. One more time, put your hands together and bless the Lord. Say, Father, we bless You. Hallelujah, Lord. Yeah, yeah. All right, we're going to pray this week. Now, join me. Don't forget your commitment. Stand with me. I need you to carry my arms this week, okay? I want you to get with me and carry this thing with me this week. This is us together saying, God, I'm praying. I'm fasting. We're believing You for a miracle. We're believing You for a miracle this week. Amen, amen. All right, go with God today. Turn to somebody. Say, man, it was good to be with you today. We'll see you tonight at the leadership meeting. God bless you.